It's not over in a week. It's not over in 2 weeks. It may not be over in a month. Perseverance and prayer is better than panic. This will not last forever. When it's all done, we're going to look back and sort of figure out why God allowed this. We can answer those questions later on. But while we're going through it, be a Christian through it. Be your best self through this time. You know, get raised up to supernatural living. It's natural to fear, but you and I are called to supernatural living.
The psalmist David talked about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, not living there indefinitely. Today on Connect with Skip Heitzen, Skip shares some encouragement to get you through this crisis, letting you know how God is with you, especially in times like this. And real quick, Skip wants to share how your support can keep encouraging messages like the one you'll hear today coming to you.
Well, there's no doubt that these are interesting times that we live in, but they can become unnerving and unsettling, especially as we become more and more isolated from one another. More than ever, we need the truth and encouragement of God's Word to help give us God's perspective when the temptation can be to embrace fear and anxiety more aggressively. Here at Connect with Skip Heitzig, we believe that God has called us to help encourage and equip you in such a time as this. We have messages and resources on our website at connectwithskip.com and on our mobile app. And as we continue to send out teaching of God's Word around the world, it's more important than ever that we don't have to pull back on our ministry because of finances. Your gift today will help us continue to deliver God's Word to you and others in this new remote environment that we find ourselves in. You can call 800-922-1888 or you can visit us at connectwithskip.com to give your gift today. Thank you for standing with us in these times.
Thank you, Skip. Now, we're in Psalm 27 as we get into the message with Skip Heitzen.
Since the Lord is my light and since the Lord is my salvation, that's why I'm not going to fear. In other words, if there is a God, and if that God is as the Bible declares him to be, I need to be more afraid of him than what's going on around me. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said? He said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." So if there's any fear here, it should be, what is God going to do with my life and what am I going to do with this God? That's what we need to be thinking of. See, I don't have to be afraid of an enemy that is unseen. I have a friend that is unseen.
Yeah.
The Lord, he is my light and my salvation. Now, I love the fact that David said, the Lord is my light. Because one thing we all know about darkness, when it gets dark, when the shadows come at night and we have to turn on the little lights in our house, darkness usually accentuates people's fear. That's when our imaginations come out of the closet and get all wonky and weird on us. We start imagining weird things. The what ifs come out at night. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, we're always dealing with those scenarios. So the Lord is my light. Now, in the Bible, light physically speaks of the glory of God. Light is always pure and brilliant in quality. So it speaks of God's glory. Morally, light speaks of the holiness of God. He's always pure morally. He has a spotless character. Intellectually, light speaks of the knowledge of God. So think of all those implications. The Lord is my light. Think of it physically, morally, intellectually. God knows everything, right? Yeah. So he is omniscient. I love in Exodus chapter 3, the children of Israel are facing an affliction. And God said, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their groans, and I am come down to deliver them. That's the light of God. That's the light he's speaking of. So you can't see God, but God can see you. God sees right where you're at. Because he can see you, you can live confidently. I was reading about the impala, the African impala. You can go to the zoo, probably just about any zoo, and see an impala. What you may not know is you're looking over that little fence and looking at the impala, that little 3-foot-high fence that keeps that impala in. Did you know an impala can jump 10 feet high?
Wow.
And when he jumps 10 feet high, he can cover a ground of about 30 feet in that 10-foot jump. Yet, a 3-foot fence keeps him contained. You want to know why? It's because an Apollo will not jump if he can't see where his feet are going to land. That means this creature lives completely by sight and not by faith. What does the Bible say about us creatures? We live by faith and not by sight. We can jump in the dark because God is light. That's where we can trust, because of who He is. So the first step is vigilance. We're aware. We got to know what's going on. We have to take precautions, but confidence. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? The third sure step in uncertain times is the step of reverence. Worship. We need to pause after realizing who God is to worship Him. Verse 4, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me." Here's what I love about the way David crafts this psalm. It's as if he's saying, when trouble overwhelms me, I'm going to let God overwhelm my trouble. I'm going to bring God so near in my worship that I'm going to be overwhelmed by Him and let God overwhelm my trouble. Think of Job. You know, we've talked about him already in this study. We all know about him. But we also know about Job's wife. You know, she was overwhelmed by the sorrow happening to her husband and in her own family, the loss of her children. And she was so overwhelmed by it, you know what she said, curse God and die. That was what she said to her husband. Curse God, dude, and just die. Fake news. But, fake news, I like that. But what I love is how Job was so overwhelmed by God, because he said, it says, he fell to his knees and he worshiped God. Now, we have the same choice. And I'm noticing how people are making choices. Is if I look at Twitter and I'm looking at the feeds, I get prominent Christian leaders and I watch the hundreds of people that respond. Yeah. Many of them respond to this by cursing God. Wow. While others respond by calling on God. Yeah. You know, just two, and you can see in reading it, the emotions that are behind that. Yeah. So trials have a tendency to move us toward God or move us away from God. I was making phone calls this week to people in our church, some who are elderly, some who are sick, and just to hear the words of faith, not fear, was so encouraging. Some of you that I talked to, you know, you have such a love for God and trust in Him, and you're not fearful of this. You're going to go into the future, and some are facing terminal illness. I spoke to a young lady who has a few weeks to live, but she had such a joy in her heart, surrounded by her family, filled with faith. It so encouraged me that you can let God overwhelm your problems. Yes. That's what David does. He assesses the danger. He expresses confidence and he worships God. Many years ago, when there was another crisis in the world called World War II, and London was being bombed by the Nazis, one church hung a sign out front that said, "If your knees are knocking, kneel on them." I love that. Be moved in the right direction. Be moved in prayer. And that's where David's at here. He says, "There's one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Notice how emphatic David is. You know, he is so focused. He has a single-minded passion of pursuing God. It's like he's looking for God in the scope of his rifle, and he's going to hone in and zero in on Him alone and pursuing Him alone. We've learned one overarching truth in this trial called coronavirus, and that is life is unpredictable. It's unpredictable. No one saw this coming. Maybe a few people predicted it as an outside chance, but no one saw this coming like it came, which means long before the crisis happens, you and I need to be prepared for it. David was prepared before the battle actually hit by his time of prayer with the Lord. Whether you were prepared or not, you can prepare quickly right now, Cliff Notes preparation, by letting your life daily be filled with worship and prayer. Jesus said this, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So ask yourself, and then move on from this, but ask yourself, typically in my life, has prayer been a first response or a last resort? Wow. A lot of people say it's a last resort, honestly. And maybe you're praying now like you've never prayed before. Good. And let that continue after the crisis ends. Yes. But I want you to notice something before we move on to the next point. That is in verse 4, he talks about beholding the beauty of the Lord. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I know a lot of us are beholding a lot of ugly things happening. We're beholding the news as the death toll rises. We're beholding Netflix. Some of us are binge watching like never before, or Amazon Prime movie channel. You need to take time, honestly, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Go outside on these beautiful spring days and look at the leaves turning green again and life coming back into our environment. The birds that are singing. Somebody sent me a tweet today of the birds outside singing and not worrying, you know, based on our last lesson. Do that. Behold the beauty of the Lord. So vigilance, confidence, reverence. The next step is obedience. Obedience. Yep. There's no excuse for not obeying God. Verse 8 tells us, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Look at what he prays in verse 11. Teach me your way. That's an obedient heart. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Notice how quick David's response is. As soon as you said, seek my face, I said, okay, I'm going to seek your face. Now, here's a question. How did the Lord say to David, seek my face? Could be that he just audibly said, hey, David, seek my face. Or, and this is what I think, probably through the present distress he was experiencing, the enemies, the war, the vitriolic language that he heard, being surrounded in whatever situation he was, he probably heard the Lord nudging him through the experience to seek his face. So it's as if David, and this is what I believe is the heart here, it's as if David is saying this crisis has amplified God's voice better than ever before. Now think about that, because trouble amplifies both the reality that we are in a fallen world, but also amplifies our need to keep our priorities. You've all heard this, I know, many times. C.S. Lewis, famous quote. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So what has God been shouting to us lately? Well, I can think of a few things. Number one, the brevity of life. Life is short. There's only one thing guaranteed for all living creatures, death. We're all going to die. Could be a traffic accident, could be a heart attack when we're 104. It could be next week, the brevity of life. Yeah. And as we see the death toll rising, I think it's a good thing to be reminded of the brevity of life. Yes. Number two, God might be shouting to us of misplaced priorities. Yeah. You know, up until this time, this country has bragged about its great economy, bragged about its strength. We are brought to our knees. We're in a place of humility now. And another thing God may be shouting is the reality of heaven and hell. And maybe you're not really right with God. Maybe you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. So, because of the overwhelming nature of crisis, we usually tend to be reactive rather than obedient, and we're limited into what we can do. The Bible says we should gather together. We can't do that. We can't sing together. We can't fellowship in close proximity. And so being isolated and doing church like this, you know, sort of drives some people to being paralyzed by the problem. We're glued to our TV. We're looking for information from earth rather than transformation from heaven. We just want the information. No, no. Let the Lord transform us individually and as a church. And maybe God is shouting out to you, hey, seek my face.
Yeah. Good.
And your response and mine should be, your face, Lord, will I seek.
Yeah.
We're faced with choices every day. And when there's a pandemic like this, we're also faced with what do we do about people around us? Because usually in a crisis like this, we tend to just think about ourselves and our family. John Calvin, who faced epidemics of disease, as well as Martin Luther, whom I quoted last weekend, John Calvin said, duty must not be neglected, no more in an epidemic disease than in war or fire. So times like this demonstrate our trust in God and our promises that God has made. Really, this is a time to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. Right, that's a promise. We should be enjoying that and looking out for those most vulnerable and how we can help. I hope you join this kindness campaign. You know, we want to bless the city during a time when they feel blasted. We want to be a blessing to them. We want to be a blessing to you. So vigilance, confidence, reverence, obedience. Those are four sure steps to take when life seems uncertain. Let me give you a final one, and that is expectance. Expectance. In verse 13, he said, I would have lost heart, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I remember reading that verse as a young believer, and that impacted me. I was driving in a car. I shouldn't have been doing this, but I had my Bible open while I was driving. I was on a freeway. I was going up to give a Bible study, but I was going through a very difficult time. And I glanced down at my seat and I saw that verse and I decided, since I had about 30 minutes to drive, I'm going to commit that to memory. It's such a powerful verse. I would have lost heart unless, and here's why I won't lose heart, I believed, I expected that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, I wonder as I read Psalm 27, is David writing this to his audience or is he speaking this to himself? I think he might have been writing this to himself. And I remember my dad used to say that he talked to himself because he liked to hear a wise man speak. And so that was sort of his excuse to do it. David, inspired by the Lord, I think, is writing this to himself. And it's not uncommon. In the book of Psalms, he does this not infrequently. For example, in Psalm 62, David said, "My soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." So he talks to himself in both of these psalms, and he's saying, that is my expectation. Not only am I noticing what's going on around me, and not only am I trusting in the Lord, but I'm expecting God to do something through this. I'm expecting good things. I have a future beyond today. So let me ask you this. Have you really entrusted this time to him? This is historic, man.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's an awesome, wonderful thing, but this is something that for generations people are going to look back on. Is your expectation from him? Are you expecting him to do something? Do you expect to see God's goodness displayed in the midst of this chaos? Here's my suggestion. Here's the homework assignment. Take Psalm 27, and I just barely touched on some of these truths. There's so many other ones. But use it as a prayer template, not only this weekend, but in the coming week.
Yeah.
Let's all decide we're going to be unified by common prayer, and all of us in this fellowship, those of you who are watching in your watch parties, we're going to take Psalm 27, and this week we're going to pray through this psalm. Pray through these five aspects in your group, meetings this week, call a friend and over the phone, pray through these five things in your own words and give God the glory. You know, nothing ticks Satan off more than people who trust God and pray to God. I want to tick Satan off.
Yeah.
I really do. You know the old adage that says Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees? Let's get on our knees this week. Let's pray Psalm 27. So let me recap it. Let me take all that we just said and give a few fine points on it. Number one, know there is a God and he cares for you passionately. And the God who cares for you knows what suffering is like personally.
Yeah.
He knows what it's like to sacrifice his son. His son knows what it's like to have nails driven through him. You are speaking to a suffering God.
Yes.
He relates to your suffering. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So know there's a God, and you're speaking to a God who has suffered. Number two, perseverance. It's not over in a week. It's not over in 2 weeks. It may not be over in a month. Perseverance and prayer is better than panic. This will not last forever. When it's all done, we're going to look back and sort of figure out why God allowed this. We can answer those questions later on. But while we're going through it, be a Christian through it.
Yeah,
be your best self through this time. You know, get raised up to supernatural living. It's natural to fear, but you and I are called to supernatural living. Third and finally, consider the claims of Christ. The personal claims of Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He said, I am the only way to the Father. He made very exclusive claims that if you've not done it before, you need to consider the claims of Christ, who not only made those claims, but suffered and rose from the dead. One of the greatest proofs of the existence of God is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe he is still alive. If you doubt that, I challenge you to commit your life to him and see if he won't meet you where you are and change you forever. So once again, there's only one thing certain about your life, and that is you're going to die. Have you come to grips with your own mortality? And are you ready to meet God? If you're not, I want you to get ready right now, right where you are. If you've had a walk that's sort of been in and out and sort of superficially Christian, you need to come to him, surrender your life to him. And if you've not done that, but you're seeing this happen, know that one day, if it's not this, one day you're going to leave this earth. Are you ready to meet God? Here's how you can get ready. God gave a solution to the fall of humanity. He sent his son into a fallen world, broken by sin, broken by pain, broken by poverty, broken by disease, to take punishment and suffering and death, and then conquer death so that anybody who trusts in him would be promised everlasting life, life beyond this life. Really a great life with no pain, no suffering, no tears. It doesn't come automatically. You have to say yes to him. And if you've never done that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want you to pray this from your heart. It's just a simple prayer of faith to him. So right where you are, just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I believe that you sent Jesus Christ into this broken world to die for me and to rise again from the dead. I turn from my sin. I repent. I want to leave it behind. And I turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to follow him. I want your peace. I want to experience your love. And yes, I want to experience your joy even during this time. And so I give you my life. I make Jesus the King of my life. And I want to know what it is to follow you today and every day in Jesus' name. Amen.
That wraps up Skip Heitzig's message, Sure Steps for Uncertain Times. If you prayed to invite Jesus into your heart, we'd love to tell you a little more about this exciting decision you made and to hear from you. Visit connectwithskip.com/knowgod. connectwithskip.com/knowgod. Now, before we go, we want to tell you about a special resource that will give you some helpful insight about the book of Revelation.
How would you like to predict the future? 100 years ago, a man named John Watkins, who curated the Smithsonian, tried. He predicted that by today, we'd have exterminated cockroaches and mosquitoes, and we'd no longer be using the letters C, Q, or X. Tell that to Xerox. The truth is, the future is beyond our ability to predict, but it's not beyond God's. And his word tells us everything we need to know about what's ahead in the period known as the end times. We want to help you understand what the future holds by sending you Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, newly reprinted to include helpful illustrations and a study guide. This timely resource is our gift of thanks for your donation today of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give today and get your copy of You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Come back tomorrow as Skip Heitzig shares how you can build up your spiritual life during this global health crisis.
Quarantining and social distancing finds itself in the Bible, and once again to underscore, it is an act of loving your neighbor as yourself.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.